to a cool place on a Friday, simmering hot Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know the place to be is the No Chaser. That's me as the co-host. I am Jerry, JT. And then also we have our host, the man of No Chaser, who gives you No Chaser when he speaks, Mr. Mac Williams. Welcome, my man.
Hey. Hey, everybody out there. Glad you could join the show. Glad you tuned in. If you're not tuning in, we hope you archive it and you listen to us later on. Whether you're listening to us live or later on, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the show. We're going to get started with the show right now. Before I do start, though, please go to TrinityWebSolutions.org, TrinityWebSolutions.org. We have everything you need. They have everything you need, I should say. Websites, blogs, anything you need, storage needs, whatever you need for online work, for online presence, they have it. So please stop by TrinityWebSolutions.org, check it out on your own computer, and sign up today if you find anything there that you need. All right, in the meantime, I wanted to talk about something that I hadn't had a chance to really talk about. But we kind of talked about it last week. We talked about the George Zimmerman trial. So I kind of wanted to revisit, and I asked myself a question. I was waiting all day, and I thought about it. I put it on my Facebook page, so you might have seen it, Jerry, but I don't know. But my question was, I kind of went back and forth with some people today about the Zimmerman trial. You know, my point was and I kind of felt like I hadn't addressed. I mean, you asked last week. You kind of asked me a question, and it didn't bother me in the sense of I felt like it would. It bothered me like irritated me. It just more or less. I don't think I answered as well as I wanted to answer that question. And one of the things you asked me last week, and I'll start with that, was you were saying that, well, if you were like, why does it seem that? Basically what you said was, why does it seem that on every issue, especially when it's a racial issue, I always side with the white folks? And I kind of felt like I answered it, but then I felt like I didn't make it clear. It's just so you know, Jerry, it's never, and for those out there who may think about my post, it's not about picking a side or seeming like I'm on somebody's side. But a lot of my answers and things like that go by one, the Bible, and two, it goes by my own beliefs of what I was raised and taught. And then second of all, it's more out of fairness and what I feel is right. So let me give you an example of what I was saying, so that way we can talk about this. And then I'll let you out of the floor once I explain this. But for me, my thing is, what I don't like is that there's a fact. In this country, there's a double standard. And just because the double standard is the norm, or the double standard is accepted by society, well, that's just the way it is, doesn't make it right. Well, somebody needs to call that out. I'm a firm believer in, if I'm going to call you out, Jerry, I'm going to allow you to call me out. If I'm going to call somebody out, then I need to have room enough to call out my own. And so what I'm saying is, if I'm going to call out white folks on what they do, then I need to do the same and call out my own folks. Even if it makes my own folks feel uncomfortable, they don't like it or whatever, or they don't believe it. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I do believe in saying what you need to say and calling things what they are, or at least questioning them or putting it out there. And I find that in this country, in general, not saying everybody, is that we have a double standard. For example, we can see the N-word, white folks can't. Which really, like, we both agree that both is wrong. But I guess what I'm saying is this, is that I guess what I'm trying to say is this Zimmerman trial made me really just think, you know. And one of the things I said today, you know, well, let me finish the answer. Basically, the answer is this. I don't side with black and white. I pick what I'm saying is sometimes I'm playing devil's advocate, but I don't play devil's advocate if I don't believe some part of that. So what I'm saying is I believe in fairness. So in other words, when I say something about that seems in favor of Zimmerman, it's not about Zimmerman. It's not about white. It's about But what about the issue? I try to hit the issue and say, well, is that right or is that wrong? You know, now, my question today, now that I've answered that, I feel like I've answered that. It's not a black and white thing. It's more or less I'm about fair and right and what I think is what I believe. It's not about taking sides. And I wanted to say that because I didn't want to leave it on the radio as if it's like, okay, you seem like you're taking sides. I don't take sides. But at the same time, I think in this country, sometimes my people, African Americans, I'm very proud to be an African American. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to be an African American because sometimes the way we act and the things we do and the things we believe, I'm not going to sit and lie about that. But I'm the same way about my family. Love my family. But some of them are just ignorant. Some of them just don't act right. Some of them never act right. They don't know where they are. So I just call it out as I see it. But here's the question I have for you. I wanted to ask you. I've been thinking about it all day. My question is this. What would it be if, you know, the incident a few days ago, a couple weeks ago, a week ago, when the man had a home invasion and beat the mess out of that white lady? Remember that?
Right.
In front of her
three. Right. Okay. Absolutely. I saw that, yes.
Okay. So what my feeling is I started thinking about it, because all week I've been going back and forth with people on Facebook on their comments, stuff that you really didn't probably didn't see, about the Zimmerman trial. And, you know, it started to bring up a thought, and it just came to me. It was just an epiphany. And I was like, what if somebody had profiled this guy? What this guy who beat this woman? What if somebody in the neighborhood watch had called the police because he was in the area? What if he had been profiled and somebody said, hey, this guy may not belong here. Why is this guy in this neighborhood? And let's say the police did stop and frisk. Let's say something happened, and let's say it was nothing. And we didn't, I'm saying, what would we call that? Would we call that racist if it was a white guy, a white cop, or a white person who did that? When they could have prevented what just happened here, maybe that would have stopped it. And I guess what I'm wondering is, would we have called that racist, not knowing what would happen, but just what could? But now in hindsight, we look back, what if that had happened? How many of us would say, you know what? And when I started thinking about it, now I'm not advocating just taking people because they're black, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating that. But I am advocating that, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I know that if I'm in I know that certain situations, certain things just don't look right. And I don't think it has anything to do with race. I mean, if I live in Beverly Hills and I see a black guy with jeans and he walking around my neighborhood, what are you here for? I'm going to ask that question. You're not driving a car. I mean, if it doesn't fit, you got to look at it. So what I'm asking you, I guess, is would you, in hindsight, would you have wanted that guy to be profiled? Would you have wanted maybe a neighborhood watch guy to call the police? Not follow, maybe. I get that. But here's the thing. But what if he did? And what if that prevented that lady? Now, in hindsight, we know that now, but we can't know that then.
Right.
So I guess what I'm trying to bring to the forefront is profiling is not – I don't think profiling is necessarily bad. And I don't
stop, Mac. I can't believe you said that.
But I don't.
My God. I can't believe you said that.
Jerry, I'll give you this. Other countries, I'm give you this. And I got to find the statistics on it. I'm going to find them.
I'm not worried about other countries, but go ahead.
I'm just telling you. But you have to use what's already being used. You have to go to that, just like a court case. You go to a court case to show what the decision was, to show what the cause of it, to probably validate your point. In other countries, they do profile, and their success, and they keep their, and they cut their crime rate down, especially on getting on planes and airlines, which is what most people in this country don't want to do. Don't profile nobody. But I guess what I'm trying to say to you is that I don't see, but we've made profiling a bad name. Because what we basically said is profiling, which to me profiling is this. If I'm out at 1 in the morning and I see four black guys in a car riding around the street with tinted glass, me as a black person, I'm concerned. I'm keeping my eyes open. Because I'm looking at these like, dude, man, what these dudes doing riding around my neighbor? They could be shooting somebody, laying to shoot somebody, whatever, could be wanting to rob me. Now am I racist because I'm profiled? I profile. Black people profile. We all profile.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I'm gonna flip the script on here. I'm gonna flip the script on you. Okay.
Let me
lay it out like this. You get a black guy in a white neighborhood, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you got a white guy in a black neighborhood, okay? So
mm-hmm.
you got a white guy going through Harlem, and then you got a black guy going through the Upper East Side of New York, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, who's the more likely one to get profiled? The guy who's going through Beverly Hills, or the white guy going through Harlem?
Probably, I would realistically say the black guy would.
Well, that's the point. And when you say it's a double standard, there's a double standard right there. Because throughout the ages, for hundreds of years,
right.
dating back before Lincoln or before Lincoln, the black
right.
man has been categorized as a predator and a half animal.
Okay. So
that stereotype, regardless if you want to believe it or not, has been carried through up until this point.
I believe that. No, here's what I'm saying. I believe that stereotype. What you just said, I have no argument with you about that. But here's my problem. My problem is that we as black children, especially, and I've gotten on people who are mostly black, my black friends who are Christians who feel the way you do. And this is
mm-hmm.
what I say. What about the Bible? Now, I'm not saying hold you to this, but I'm saying what about the Bible that says forgetting those things are behind you? Not saying you can't learn from it. Wisdom says you learn from your experiences. But you don't live in the past and measure everything from the past and the stories and the things that you've been through to what's going forward. Because what you do is you miss opportunities, or you put yourself in positions where you're getting mad over that. Like I told you before, all my friends who hate the police are people who are usually doing something illegal. They don't like the police, hate the police, but they're doing something illegal. I can tell you, almost everyone, the only black ones that I have, and I can say this, who don't have a problem with the police are usually the ones who are not doing nothing. Okay, so I'm just giving you that. So what
well,
I'm
trying to let me tell you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've had, and family members have had bad experiences with people of law enforcement
right.
for not
right.
doing anything but just being
right.
black.
And you know what? And you know what? I don't have a problem. And I do. I believe that exists. Absolutely. And here's my thing. When those situations come up, they need to be dealt with. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is that we as a people sometimes jump to conclusions because we hear something. A year ago, we jumped on this and assumed and basically said, this is what happened, this is who this guy is, and this is why he did it. With no evidence, with very little evidence, with no concrete nothing, no court case or nothing. Now, flip the script a year or more later, we're doing a trial, and I'm saying what I find is that a lot of our people are caught up in the past, and they measure everything by the past. They say the same thing you do.
Let me put it this way. You said people are caught up in the past. Well, if the past keeps hitting you in the face because other people can't.
But how do you know that?
Mac, let me put
what?
It this way. As a black person living
right.
in America, you
right.
there's not one black person that I could actually say, and I'd be very surprised that hasn't had that moment when you know that it's got something to do with your color. It's not written. Somebody doesn't broadcast it across the sky, but you know you can see it and you can feel it. So if you see it and you can feel it and you know what that feeling is and you know where it's coming from and how it's coming to you, you don't forget it and you recognize it when you see it again.
Okay. But again, I can't – if I went by my feelings, I would slap the taste out of a lot of white folks' mouth. And some of the stuff they say to me, but they don't call me the N-word or they don't say – but sometimes they can come across as being smart. sometimes they come across, they don't like what I say, and they think that, you know, I could take it that way. You know, and what I realize is that's me taking it. I instead of me asking them, so I guess what I'm trying, here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say to you is, I have to see it and hear it and know it for myself. But I gotta eliminate. I have to if you like this. If somebody disagrees with me politically, I can't. And I'm talking to a white person. I can't assume based on my past. I should assume why all white folks, because that's what happens in my mind. I think that this guy's disagreeing with me because I'm black and because Obama's black. That's what we're talking about.
Wait a minute, let me put it like this way. What you just said, mm-hmm. it's two different things. Now, I'll tell you why it's two different things. Mm-hmm. If somebody disagrees with you, doesn't necessarily mean that you're black. There's a lot of animosity, especially from mm-hmm. the opposite race, toward Mr. Obama. And a lot of things had either been said or written that have never been said or written about any other president. So
absolutely, I don't disagree. And that part I don't disagree because I've seen the stuff. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I go by what I see, what I hear, and I look at the evidence. I can't. What I've learned more than anything is that you can't assume about people with no proof. If I go by my feelings, we're talking about human beings who take something as simple as I'll be there at 7 p.m. and people take it a whole different way just because you didn't put LOL at the end. What I'm trying to say to you, Jerry, is I just think a lot of us as African Americans jump to conclusions and make everything black and white when it's not. And we don't give it a chance. We don't go say, all right, is it really that? Well, let me investigate a little more. Let me do something. I'm not talking about a cop being in your face and do something totally out of what's norm, and you know it. Now, I'm not saying what I'm saying is we never think, well, is it really that? For instance, I went back and forth with a guy today, and he got mad at me because he totally ignored my point. And I said, okay, if we're gonna hold Zimmerman responsible for shooting him and for his choices, I said, because they were choices, right? The guy says, yes, they were his choices to follow, or they were his choices to do this. I said, okay, cool. I said, so why don't we hold Trayvon responsible for the fact that he didn't walk away, that he could have said whatever, and with the fact that the girl said that he said something to him. So at that So we don't have any evidence saying that that Zimmerman punched him in the face first, jumped on him, or did anything to him, period. So my thing is, who is the aggressor first? So here's my point. This is my only point. But this keeps getting ignored. Is that I say, and I'm gonna let you know and walk you through this so you understand. I'm saying this because I'm saying that we as a people need to stop. We need to open our minds and stop saying everything is just this. We lock our minds up and we don't want to hear it. And no matter what we see, no matter what the evidence, we keep twisting and turning and saying that, no, that's what it is. It never crosses anybody's mind who are these people calling them racist that maybe this guy, maybe, shoot our person in the face. Maybe Trayvon was whooping his tail. It's obvious. And maybe this guy felt sick. Now I can understand where the lady said his injuries didn't warrant life-threatening, fine. There's a lot of people that don't feel life-threatening, but we got white folks down here that feel threatened when we raise our voice. So, I mean, it's all relative. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you, Jerry, is this, is that all I said to the guy was, I said, well, why can't we hold him responsible for not walking away? I said, because
well, let me
I'm
put it
kid.
This way. Wait a minute now. Just listen for a minute. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number one, and I just heard this, I kind of knew that you were gonna bring this up. This
exactly.
is evidence that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
The recording, or what was heard, about 40 seconds worth of recording, mm-hmm. audio. And the audio was Trayvon Martin supposedly yelling for help. Somebody help me, please. Not George Zimmerman. Trayvon Martin. Also, the assistant coroner said that after Trayvon got shot, there was a possibility, strong possibility, that he up to 10 minutes he was still alive. Now, mm-hmm. you had told me last week that somebody who's used to, or last week or week before, whatever, somebody who's used to using a gun, okay, mm-hmm. would be cool, calm, and collected, okay, after he fires a gun on another human being, all right?
Right.
Well, now he fires a gun on a 14-year-old, I think he was 14, whatever, young teenager. Okay. Wait a minute, whatever.
Okay.
All right? If he's 16, 17, whatever. What I'm saying is he fired her. Now this guy's incapacitated, and he did nothing to help this guy after he shot him. Nothing to help him. I mean, he just showed total indifference. Saw him suffering and showed total indifference after he shot him. After supposedly, it wasn't Zimmerman who was screaming, help me, help me, help me. It was Trayvon Martin. Now, I revert back to what I said last week.
So the testimony now is not that somebody was screaming during the fight or whatever supposed wrestling match. Now somebody was screaming after the gunshot.
No. I'm saying someone was screaming, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" before he got shot.
Right.
Okay. So that means if it was Trayvon Martin screaming, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" then it must have been Mr. Zimmerman who had the advantage, not Trayvon Martin. And getting back to the point I said last week about a teenager. Teenagers are young, they're very impulsive, and they really and you should notice a lot of them don't have total control of their emotions. So when you confront somebody, when you follow somebody, a teenager, and he confronts you, you got a problem with me. He's going to jump up in your face because the fact is, and I don't think it would have made a difference whether the guy was white or black, because the guy was following him. It's even more of an insult to a black kid if he's being followed by a white guy or somebody that looks like a white guy and he's minding his own business.
Okay, but let me ask you this question then. Let me take you through the things because you said a lot. So let me go back through those. Number one is,
mm-hmm.
you can't, but see, here's the problem. Nobody's recognizing what Zimmerman said because everybody's saying, well, Zimmerman's lying. What I'm saying is, what if it was true? That's what you have to listen to. And Zimmerman said in the reenactment, "I thought I missed him," because he sat up and pulled it, and when he had the gun, he said, "I thought I missed him." He pulled up, and he said, Trayvon said, "All right, man, you got," he said, "you got me or you got it." He said he couldn't make out which one he said. And then he pushed him off of him, look at the tape where he said he put his arms out and asked the guy, "Come in, help me restrain this guy," because he thought he was just down. He put him down. He didn't know he had shot him. Listen to me. I said according to what he said, he thought he missed him. That's all I'm saying. So I'm just here's what I'm saying. I'm not disputing. Here's my thing. I don't dispute what happened. But what I do know is this fact. The fact is that Trayvon said, "Why are you following me?" There was no reason to punch the guy. There's no reason to hit the guy. There's no reason to do anything.
The problem I have here is this, Mac. You're calling the victim the reason this happened, instead of the guy who perpetrated it in the first place.
Okay.
You're laying the blame on the black kid that was minding his own business. It wasn't doing anything. You're laying the blame on him. It's his fault
Jerry, he made a choice just like the repercussions of Raymond, just like the repercussions of Zimmerman's choice has gotten him here. You make choices, you have repercussions. Why is everybody ignoring that? when I go outside as a teenager, when I hung with certain people, my mother pulled me in the house and said, look, if you keep hanging with these niggas, you're going to get shot.
You got a grown man. You got a grown-ass man. You got a grown-ass man against a teenager.
But I'm a teenager. But wait, listen to me. But I'm a teenager, and my mother taught me there's a choice. If I make the choice, my mother told me, if you keep hanging with him, how many times have we gone through our lives and our mother and father have told us the choices, what's the result of our choices? If you keep doing this, you're going to do this. When you keep doing this, this is going to happen. If you
but the kid wasn't doing any. The kid wasn't doing any. The kid wasn't doing anything wrong. He was minding his own business.
Exactly.
He was minding his own business.
But let me ask you this. So what reason did he? You tell me a good reason why he had to punch him in the face. Just ask me. Why did he start whooping his ass?
You're missing the point. I keep stressing the same thing. This is a teenager,
okay.
Not a grown ass. Now wait a minute, not a grown ass man that's going to make a split second and make a right split second decision. This is a teenager. See, and this is a problem I have. This is a problem I have with society. This is a bad problem I have with society. Right away, because it's a black male. That black male is supposed to be instead of a teenager, and think like a teenager. He's supposed to think like a 30-year-old man. He's supposed to make rational decisions. So it's because the black kid made a choice as a teenager, and most teenagers will probably make the same type of choice compared to a 30-year-old black man. You make the black kid the perpetrator instead of what actually happened here.
I make a person who's able to make decisions and knows right from wrong.
Teenager.
Make a decision. You're making an excuse for that. Because all the way through school, through our entire life, people are telling us, if you do this, you do that. People are whooping our. Why is our mom and dad whooping our ass then? Because we know right from wrong. They don't whoop us because they're saying, well, I want to whoop your ass. I know you didn't know what was going on, but I'm going to kick your ass anyway. I'm going to beat the shit out of you with this belt, but I know you know what's right. My mother whooped my ass because I knew better what I was doing. When my mother told me, if you go in there and do this and that and start shit, you're going to be in trouble. I go in there and I got my ass whooped. You know why? Because when my mother investigated and found out that I was the one who started it because he said some words to me and I punched him in his motherfucking face, guess what my mother did? She whooped
Well, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way, Mac.
We're able to read, write. We're called intelligent individuals. We're told we're intelligent. We're smart. We're told all this stuff. But then as soon as it comes time to where we say, why are you following me? And a guy. Let's suppose he did say, I'm not following you. You have a problem with me. I don't have no problem with you. Walks up to you and says, well, you got a problem with me now. What I'm saying is, that's a conscious choice. He made somewhere along the line. He made the choice. I'm gonna punch this dude in the face. I'm gonna go ahead and do what I'm gonna do. He made that decision.
Wait a minute. Now, we're just assuming that. That
right.
George Zimmerman backed off and said, I don't have a problem with you. When Trayvon Martin said.
Right, we're assuming that. But the same witness that everybody's listening to, the black girl who went up there who was on the phone with him, never said he said violent words to him. He said something to the court. She just testified to the fact that he said something like, I don't know what you're talking about. So we know he didn't provoke him, according to her. We're listening to her. So we're going to disparage the girl. We're going to disparage the girl. We need to disparage her, and we'll get off of it totally. But she never said, he said, F you. He never said nothing to provoke him. If anything, he backed off and said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said he said that. I don't know what you're talking about. So it wasn't like the guy said, screw you. Well, boo-hoo, nothing. So what I'm saying is that we're going to take her word for it, what she said, and she's not saying he said someone cut that in to provoke him. But what I'm saying is that was a conscious decision to do something, what he wanted to do. He made that decision, Jerry. Jerry, here's my point.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but this is the deal here.
wait a minute. Let me
go
make
ahead.
This clear before you say that. Let me make this clear. I don't wish no teenager, nobody to die or get shot or get killed before they live out their lives and experience life. So don't get it twisted here. I'm not saying nobody deserves anything, okay? I'm not saying I don't think either person deserves where they are right now because both of them made choices, and that's why they are where they are. I'm not saying nobody deserves anything. So don't get me wrong when I say that. But what I'm saying to you is it's the same thing as if somebody tells you to walk away, whether you're a grown man or not. I've heard people tell teenagers when they're ready to fight, walk away. Just go away, get out of here, go in the house. Or they say, leave, walk away. Why you always have to fight? Why? I'm saying what I'm saying is if Trayvon Martin was 10 years old, if he was 8 years old, I could understand that. I wouldn't hold him there. But when a boy is in high school and you're old, you're damn near 18, you're a grown man, my problem is you made a decision to handle a situation a certain way. And all I'm saying to you is that choices have consequences. I'm not saying he deserves it. What I'm saying is, it's just like me. If I go out, you don't think I deserve to die. But if I keep going out here running around with certain people in the street, I'm going to die because of my choice. And you can't blame that on nobody else. You have to say, if you had stopped being with this person and stopped hanging with this guy, if I didn't stop hanging with the people I was hanging with when I was a kid, if I didn't make that decision, because my mother couldn't lock me in the house, she couldn't keep me in, she told me stuff because I could make decisions for myself. She didn't tell me stuff. She didn't try to make me because she knew she couldn't. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying Trayvon deserves anything. What I'm saying is if we're going to hold Zimmerman responsible for his actions, you have to look at the other person and say he could have walked away too. He didn't have to punch Zimmerman in the face. He didn't have to do all that. He didn't have to fight the man. He didn't have to do that. That's my point. I wasn't saying he deserved to get shot. What I'm saying is if I go out here and start punching on people, I'm going to run into somebody with a gun. I'm going to run into somebody with a bat.
And this is go back to the point I originally had made earlier, that over years, it could be 10 years, it could be 5 years, it could be a lifetime, black people have seen different instances, including yourself and definitely including me, that because your skin color, you're either treated a different way, you either talk to a different way than somebody of a different color than you.
Absolutely.
And one of the things you had said was you can't equate that to everything that people say or do. But what I said was this, and most black people have this in them. They are able to see or feel or just know when a certain situation arises and it has to do with your color of your skin. And I have a strong feeling that Trayvon, this is probably not the first time a white guy or somebody came up to him or approached him and said something or did something because he was black. And he turned around and he reacted as a teenager would react to a guy that's following him for no reason. And take that as a high sense of disrespect and
he had every right to question that, and he had every right to say, why are you following me? I have no problem with that. The problem I have is that then when the guy says something and backs off and says, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, or leaves it alone or whatever, and you come across, when the guy goes down for his, looks for his phone to call somebody, he ends up in his face and punches him in the face.
Yeah, well, see.
And wait a minute. And he wasn't provoked, according to the witness, who was the last person on the phone with.
Well, let me put it this way. On the phone, not sitting there when the two guys were face-to-face with each other, saying that
Absolutely.
He was going for his phone. Wait a minute. Trayvon Martin out there on a dark street with George Zimmerman, all right?
Mm-hmm.
George Zimmerman mm-hmm. supposedly was going for his phone. How was Trayvon supposed to know that? Trayvon supposed to know he's going for his phone and not going for something else in the dark, on a dark street?
Absolutely. But why would you punch him, though? You could have ran. You could have walked away.
Wait a minute. No. Run. Why would you? If somebody's reaching for something,
okay.
Why would you
so
run? You don't have a chance. Your only chance is to take the person out in front of you. Your only chance is to take the person out in front of you.
Jerry, I don't know where you grew up at, but where I grew up at, if it looked like you had one, I'm gone. I ain't waiting on you to pull that, and I'm not trying to punch you, because you might get your gun and shoot me. I'm getting out of the way, and I'm zigzagging my ass across the lawn. Don't try to tell me.
Everybody reacts differently.
I'm not punching. And to be honest with you, here's what I will say. But here's what I will say to you. Here's my point. My point is, I agree with what you're saying about feelings and all that. But here's the point. The point is, everything we feel, we can't trust our feelings. We can sometimes, but sometimes our frustrated feelings lead us wrong. The Bible says that. Now, nobody wants to hear that, of course, but it can. Sometimes I can think somebody's being racist to me or being mean to me because I'm this. It may not be that. It may not. I may have a bad mood. Maybe I don't like you. Maybe you remind me of somebody. My wife has gotten to watch me sitting talk to a person and said to me, you talk to that person so nasty and so mean. Like, how did you do? And I'm sitting there going like, no, I didn't. She's like, yes, you did. And I've admitted to her that the person reminded me of somebody and I had a bad experience with them and I ain't want to be with them. But it wasn't had nothing to do with them being white or black or their color.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what I'm trying to say is there are different reasons for people why they react. And what I find is that sometimes we as the people don't give we give it no chance to see if that's what it is. We go by our feelings. Well, shoot, our feelings tell us we love somebody, but that don't mean we do. I mean,
right.
Sometimes our feelings tell us, you know, we should trust this person, but we don't. The Bible even tells you don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your flesh, because if you trust your flesh, it'll lead you down the path. I've been burned too many times by my feelings. So what I'm saying to you is all I'm saying to you is I would like to see us as a people. When I say let go of the past, here's my point. I'm just telling you, I don't live in the past. Have people said the N-word, white people said the N-word to me? Yes, they have. Has there been a lot? Probably not as much as you. Probably not as much as other people. Depends on what year you was born in, years and centuries you came up in. Some people got it more than all of us did. But what I'm saying to you is, the Word of God tells me to let that go. To leave that alone, to let that. Because when
you can't let it go if sporadically, at any given moment, it's thrown back up in your face. You can't
yes,
let
you
it
can.
Go.
Yes, you can. If you're a Christian, you believe in forgiveness, you can. Because the same God that you ask to forgive you and erase your stuff is the same one you said. So here's what I'm saying. I've had things happen to me because I'm black. Don't get me wrong. I don't let it hold me in bondage to the point where every time I have an experience with a white person, I'm suspicious and I'm always.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is most black people have antennas up, okay? There could be any time at any moment that you could be put in that one special moment that you know what's going on is because your skin color.
Right.
I couldn't say even black people. Anybody of color has to live with.
I know what you're saying. You ain't got to clarify for me. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying to you also is, but that's not what I want. I don't want to go around with my antennas up. I'm going to tell you why. Because I take every person as an individual, each by how they treat me, what they say to me, and how they do. You a racist? Cool. Now I know not to deal with you. You so-and-so, I know, okay, you that way, all right, I don't have to deal with you. The problem I have is I can't live a life with my antenna up because I know for a fact that there are times when I, if I had taken the way someone talked to me, if I had taken the way somebody reacted to me, if I took the way somebody, the way I felt, and didn't give it a chance or investigate or really see if that's really what it was, I would have missed opportunities, and I would have never had half the opportunities in my life to do the things that I wanted to do that I do now.
Mac, we have one caller that's been online waiting for 5 minutes, and we just got another caller. Do you want to take any of these calls or no?
I don't care. We can take those calls, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty heated, but let it go. Let it be what it's going to be.
We got
20 minutes, so we good. 20 minutes, I'm out.
Okay. I'm going to take this caller first because he's been holding on. They've been holding on for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Call from the 740. Welcome to the No Chaser Show with Mac and Jerry. State your name and tell us what you have to say. Call from the 740. Are you there? Okay. No problem. Let me get rid of this caller, and let me get with this caller from the 647. Welcome to the No Chasers with Mac and Jerry. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Very good. How are you?
Blue Iris.
Huh?
Hello?
I hope you're starting to oiling up your cock.
Oh boy!
What was that?
Don't worry about it, Mac. It was a stupid call.
That's what I thought.
Got rid of it real quick.
No, no problem. But my point is, but my point, Jerry, is, but here's my thing. I understand your point. My whole point is, I'm trying to. For me, I see. All I'm saying to you is, here's what I'm saying. Zimmerman has to deal with the consequences of what he's done, whether he's guilty, whatever it is, he had to go through this for his choice. What I'm saying to you is that, all I'm saying to you is that no, Trayvon Martin did not deserve to die. He didn't. He didn't deserve
no.
it. But at the same time, the same Bible that I read says that whatever decisions and choices that you make, they're repercussions. It's seed time harvest. You do something, you get it. If I knew in my neighborhood who to fight and who not to. If I fought certain people, you knew. Man, you might mess around and get your behind shot. You might mess around and get fast, but this guy carries a razor blade with it. What I'm saying is, there are certain consequences to what you do, and what I'm saying is in the same. It's funny, when a kid dies, we don't want to hold him responsible, but then when a kid goes out here and does something foolish and messes up a scholarship or messes up a chance to go do something, I'm talking about teenagers. I go to school with teenagers every day. When they miss opportunities, the first thing I hear parents saying, well, you know, you got to learn to be responsible for his choices. You got to learn to be responsible for his actions. You got to learn this. But then, when that same teenager the same age gets shot and killed by a guy that he decided to punch in the face, and don't get me wrong, he don't deserve to get shot. But that's the result of the choice that he made. It was a repercussion. Not saying he deserved it, but those are the risks you take. Every time you go out here and you have a – every time he went out and had a fist fight with somebody, he had a chance of dying. Get hit with a bat, get your head hit on the curb, corner of a table, whatever. We always take that chance. Does that mean we deserve to die? No. But it's a repercussion of the choice that we make, and all I'm saying is I just don't think it's fair – that we hold all this responsibility on George Zimmerman, and then we don't, but we don't look at the child and say, you know what, he could have walked away. That's all I was trying to say, is he could have walked away and handled it better than that. Now, nobody wants to hear that, of course, because everybody gets mad and says, well, you're saying that he deserved it. I said, I didn't say nothing. I said what I said. I don't mince words. I don't put no innuendos, and I don't put no in-between. I say what I say, and that's what it is. So all I'm saying to you is that, and here's my thing. Everything you said, I don't disagree with one bit of what you said. I can't live as a Christian, as a man. I just choose not to live with my antenna up, because I've seen times where I've sat back and thought and said, man, I thought that dude was this, and this, man. Man, I was about to say something and flip off. I was about to do such and such. And if I had taken my feelings for what I thought it was and assumed it was and made up my mind it was, and I reacted off that, I would have missed opportunity. I would have missed opportunity for promotion. I would have missed opportunities to get blessed a certain way. I'd have missed opportunities that I would have never had I said and done what I thought I should have done, what my feelings said I should have done. I've learned that through my life. I happened to grow up with a man who was a white man in an all-black neighborhood, and I saw the balances, and I saw from both sides. So what I'm saying to you is, I chose when I started really following like I did, that I can't be that because it's a bondage. It's like being in chains. If I go around all the time with my antenna up, then I'm always subject to be a slave to what somebody says or does to me, and I'm a slave to my feelings, thinking that this is what it is. This is what they're doing. I found that sometimes, not saying all the time, that it's not what I thought it was.
Why do you think that people of color, and I'm not going to even say just specifically black people of color, go around with their antenna up, because the fact is, the majority have historically done things in order for you to keep your antenna up.
Okay, But all of that, again, it goes back to that's the choice. See, the difference is that if I, Jerry, if I deal with you, I'm going to deal with you on Jerry's terms. I'm not going to deal with you on a certain person of, like for instance, I guess I'm trying to find a good example. If I deal with a dude down here in a certain neighborhood, and he asks me for $2, I'll pay you back, I should assume that he'll never give me my money back. If I loan him money, because he lives in a property, or because he lives here or lives there, is that racist? No. That's common sense. That's what I would think. Do I treat him that way? That's my choice. I can either treat him that way and hawk him about it, or I can trust him a little bit. And then when we get to that point where I'm not getting my money back, then I can say, hey, look, man, I need my money. And then keep the whole other stuff out of it. Because maybe he's not paying me. Maybe not. Wait a minute. Maybe he's not paying me because he really don't have the money. Maybe he says so, but he really don't have it. Or he, you know, whatever he's going through. But if I knew his situation, I wouldn't assume that anymore. Then I'd say, oh, okay, I see that. All I'm trying to say to you is that most people of color, you're right, go through with their antennas up because of their past. But the Bible that I read says you need to let your past go. That doesn't mean let people think letting go means you act like it doesn't exist. Well, you act like it doesn't do. No, but I don't let it control me. I don't go just strictly by that. If I see a white guy in a certain following me through a store, it doesn't necessarily mean he's following me to the store because I'm black and he thinks I'm going to steal. I don't know that. I can assume that. I can, because of my past experience in a store.
Right.
Or I can decide to turn around and say, hey, what's the deal with, you know, follow me around? You know, I've worked at retail stores where we've had one guy who does it. And then people will come back and say, you following them, but you ain't following, you following me, but you ain't following them. Well, I only got one guy on security right now, so he can only follow one person at a time. But if you let somebody say that, but if you leave it to them, they'll think they can take it and run with it. So all I'm trying to say, Jerry, is that I wish we as a people were more reasonable, just to let's see. Instead of assuming that Zimmerman did this a year ago, why don't we look at the evidence and see? Why don't we let it play out? Why do we always have to jump on whenever it's a... And that's why I brought the original question to you was this. What if we had profiled this black guy who did a home invasion and beat the hell out of this lady in front of a child?
Well, you can say that because you know what would happen. You can say that because you know what happened because it was played out on a video.
So right, but that was my question on Facebook. That's why I asked the question. I was posing the question to people on Facebook. Of course, their silence was deafening because nobody could answer that. But I said, what if we have somebody had profiled it and stopped it? What if our neighborhood watch guy did look out his window and saw the guy, or came out on the porch and said, hey, I got a guy walking through here, and called the police on him and did it then. And, you know, police came and stopped him. And let's say that incident didn't happen. We know because that's why I put in the thing. I said, we know now because of hindsight. We know now, but what if we didn't? What would we call it? Nine times out of, and what I said at the end was, at nine times out of ten, we as black folks would have called it racial. We would have called it a race. Called somebody a racist. We would have called it a racist.
And it would have been because the fact is that you have a strange person, and he happens to be black, walking through the neighborhood,
right.
And because he's black, it sends up an even bigger red flag because of
right.
what is ingrained in a lot of people in society that a black man is evil, and you've got to put the black man in its place. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong about that.
No, I'm not. Here's my point. I'm not saying that that's not the fact,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still, I'm not saying that's not a fact. I'm not saying, because I can't judge your feelings, you have a legit, I don't know what your experience is, so you have a legit reason to feel that way, but I don't think we as a people are doing ourselves a favor when we're held in bondage and chained by that. We're held by, we always think that. Instead of, it's a prison. What if that guy was stopped in prison? Which I've heard a lot of black people are against popping prison. I'm not. I don't want people, undesirable, strange people walking around my neighborhood and they don't belong there and I don't know what they're doing and they're drinking and open bottles. No, I want you to stop them in prison. I'm going to tell you right now, I do. I want you to stop them in prison. Stop them now. If you got reason, stop them. Because guess what? We need to prevent more of these crimes and these things that are happening. If we had stopped and frisked that guy, who knows? We might have stopped him from coming to that house and beating that lady up. That's my point. My point is we need to stop living in the past and with our antennas up all the time and sometimes slow down and wait and see what it is. I can understand if it's something where a bunch of white guys running at you with a bat. Of course, you can't make a decision. You got to do what you got to do. But most of these situations are not situations where we have to act the way we act or take it the way we take it. To me, it's more intelligent than it is being ignorant. To me, when I had a guy follow me through the store, I didn't stop him asking, why are you following me? I didn't care because I knew where I was going. I'm going to go buy my stuff and go to that counter and buy my stuff and leave. And guess what? Every black guy ain't a thief. I'm a show. And then I'm going to come back again, which I did, and buy more stuff. And guess what? After about two times coming, guess what happened? Hey, Matt. Hey, Mr. Williams. How you doing? I'm doing great. What you here to get today? I don't know. Let me go look. Did they follow me anymore? Hell no, they didn't. And guess what? Because they knew. But if I turned around and did that and then got indignant and got all mad, got flipped out and threw it, I mean, for what? I'm just saying, for what, Jerry? What? That's going to make them stop following me? They're still going to have to follow me because that's their protocol, because I work in retail. So what I'm saying to you is, what I'm trying to say to you is that everything, I just wish we would realize that everything we think is racist or racism is not. There are reasons behind sometimes why people act a certain way. Now, in the case of Trayvon, do I believe that the man set out to kill and shoot him? No. Do I believe that man intended and was ready to shoot him? No. Because to me, I'm going to be honest with you, and me as a black man, had I had a gun on my holster and that youngin came up to me and told me, you got a problem now, I took a swing, I'm ducking and I'm cooked. And I wouldn't have shot him unless I had to, but I would have pulled it to get him up off. Uh-uh. You're not whooping my ass today. You're going to get up off me. You're going to roll. And he'd rolled out. So what I'm saying is, if he's a cold-blooded killer, the racist guy that everybody say he is, my question is, why didn't he pull out the gun and just go to work when he first saw the dude? If he's just such a killer, shoot the dude. Shoot him in the dog and keep going. Because nobody can sit and tell me that he just sat there and he's that gentleman, that smart, and he sat there and plotted that and said, you know what, I'm going to let him punch me in the face, hit me, let him get him on the ground, bash my head, and then I'm going to get him this way, and then I'm going to shoot him. That didn't happen.
What I'm saying is this then, and it came out in the testimony, I think it was today or whatever, earlier today, that the voice that was yelling for help was not George Zimmerman. It was supposedly Trayvon Martin. So
and the FBI analyzed it before this case and said they couldn't tell what it was. So don't give me that, because everybody who comes up for one side gonna say it's that person's side, and everybody gonna say something to that person's side. So that don't mean nothing to me, because I expect Trayvon's mother to say, if she said it was Zimmerman, I'd have fell out of my seat. If somebody
I'm not just saying him. I mean, it was more than one person that said it was Trayvon.
Yeah, I know it was experts, but here's my point. But my point is, the FBI, who does this every day, the highest law enforcement, tested the thing and said, you can't tell who's on it. If the FBI can't tell, you can't tell me that these experts who are not working in the FBI, who are not doing this, come on, man, they pay people to get up there and say it, because they ask them to do it, and they say that's what it is. Okay, we're going to put you on the witness stand. I mean, give me a break. The voice thing, to be honest with you, I can't tell. When I listen to it, I can't tell who it is. I can't. Because I don't know either one of those guys, and I don't know what they sound like when they sing. Do I believe it was Zimmerman? I don't know if it was or it wasn't. And I'm not even going to speculate on that. All I'm saying is nobody right now, with the exception of God himself, knows who that was on that thing that was yelling. Nobody knows it. And I figure if the FBI don't know it, why would lower level people know? What makes their equipment over them better than the other one? They could, and you know, they did a thorough investigation on. So
all I can say is this: if my man didn't follow the black guy in the first place because he had a hood on and he was black, none of this would have happened. None of it would have happened. So none of it would even come to that.
I give you that. But I also say this, and here's the thing. Based on what Zimmerman put in his reenactment, he wasn't following Trayvon. There's a lot of inconsistency with the black girl who was on the phone with him. So here's my point. My point is, I'm not saying I believe it. What I'm saying is this. If you go by what the man said and you look at what he had on the film when he reenacted it, he said he was going to the house ahead because he couldn't tell the address of what street he was on. When he came back by the corner, Trayvon said, hollered out and said, hey, why are you following me? And that's when he was on the phone. If you look back at what Zimmerman said, he wasn't following because he admitted, when they said, are you following? He said, yes. And they said, stop following. He said, oh, okay. And he said by that time, he was over by that house because he was trying to go to the house ahead that had the address so he could tell him what street was on. But he said he turned around and he said, well, look, if they tell him to come to the clubhouse, make the right, meet me at my, I watched this one. He said, meet me at my truck. My truck is right here where his truck was. He said, on his way back to the truck, that's when he came back apart to the point where he went before and said he didn't see Trayvon, and Trayvon was right there and said, why are you following? So here's my point. Do I fault Zimmerman? Do I fault gentlemen for following him? The neighborhood watch. I don't know. I don't know what the rules of neighborhood watch are. I don't know what they are. I know we had a neighborhood watch, and I know people walked the streets and walked around certain blocks and walked around and looked and did whatever they did, reported and called the police and did the same thing. I don't see nothing out of the ordinary with that. I don't. But this goes back to the same thing with most black people don't like stop and flip. Most people don't like profiling. You know what? Profile and stop and frisk, are you going to get officers and people who are going to be racist, who are going to do certain things? Absolutely right. Are you going to get people to leave, even now, who are going to treat a person unfairly because they're black and they're racist cops and they don't like black people? Absolutely. I'm not saying that. But does that mean we stop doing it, period? Every time we have a chance that some white cop or some racist is going to happen for the greater good? No. Because had we stopped and frisked that one guy, he might not have got in that house and beat that lady in front of her 3-year-old. If we had profiled, maybe that black guy wouldn't have got in that house and beat that lady. Maybe if we had stopped and frisked, or if we had asked the guy a question, like if maybe the neighborhood white person said, hey, you know, what are you doing around here? You're a racist, you don't like me because I'm black. But that don't mean that. But he was up to no good. But I'm saying, you're right. We know now because of hindsight. It's 2020. But that was my main question was, what if we didn't know this was going to happen? And somebody had stopped in front of a profiler did that, what would we have called it? And I said, I bet most black people would have called it racist or racial. And that's the truth, and that's sad. Because we don't, because every time we call up and we live with our antennas up and we call something what it is and we don't really know what it is, we miss the opportunity to protect somebody. We miss an opportunity to get a guy who's legitimately a black guy who's out to do no good.
Well, you can say that now because hindsight is 2020. But you didn't know that before.
But here's my point. But I'm using that as an example to say it's not just about the Trayvon thing, but I'm using that to say what if the same kind of person was in that neighborhood and did that to that guy, it would have prevented something. That was my way of illustrating is that when we live in a world where everything is black and white, we're always the same.
Well, let me put it, what happens is
black people who are the guys who are the real bad guys get away because we're too busy hollering about we don't want to be stopped and frisked. We don't want to be this and that. But we're the same people who cry and get mad when a bullet goes through your home and hits his baby and kills it. We're the same people, but we don't want to stop and frisk nobody. But we don't want nobody to ask us for ID. We don't want nobody to just stop us for no reason. We don't want nobody to profile us. But guess what? Some of those people that we profile, some of the people that we stop and frisk over, we won't stop them from doing something. But we don't know it because we're too busy running around with our antennas up saying we don't want nobody to bother us because we feel everybody's going to be, there's going to be some racism. We're living in fear. Oh, I'm seeing somebody going to be racist, so we don't want the program at all.
Let me go back a ways, man. December 20th, 1986, three black men were attacked by a group of white teenagers yelling racial slurs in Howard Beach, which is a predominantly white, middle-class Italian neighborhood in New York.
I remember.
And they were minding their own business, not doing a thing. So when you say that, there's a reason why people of color have their antennas up because things like that happen.
I understand
for
that.
For no reason.
And guess what? Those people that did that to them deserve whatever they get to go to jail, to die, to stay in prison the rest of their lives. They deserve it. I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is, Jesse, for every incident you can push out, I can show you can have, but you don't know it. But that doesn't mean all of them are like that. What I'm saying to you, that's not a policeman or stop and frisk. That's not a neighborhood watch. I'm just talking about attributing this to police, law enforcement, to a neighborhood watch, the same as we're sitting hollering about them and doing what he did, but then we're hollering about it. I've heard them cry about stop and frisk, and they don't want none of that either. And my point is, with the incident you just pulled out, that's not a stop and frisk. That's not a neighborhood watch. That's not nothing. And guess what? If neighborhood watch did it, they should go to jail and be prosecuted. If police have been prosecuted for doing that kind of stuff. Wait a minute.
When the two surviving victims were being interviewed or whatever, the police treated them like they were perpetrators because what were you doing in a predominantly white neighborhood? Like this is not America. You got to stay in your particular neighborhood. You can't go into a supposedly predominantly majority neighborhood and without being persecuted or think that you're a perpetrator. That's the problem.
But Jerry, what's wrong with asking that question? If you have a legitimate answer, I don't care about it. You say, what are you doing here? Man, my mom lives here, or so-and-so lives here, or I decided to walk out here. Why am I going to get mad? Why? If I have a legitimate reason, I shouldn't have no beef with nobody.
You're talking about a perfect world. This ain't a perfect world, man. And when things like this happen, you can probably say, this is probably what happened with these three kids. These three men. They probably say, what are you guys doing here? Or what are you ends doing here? And they were minding their own business, and they got attacked.
But Jerry, until the evidence, if you're telling me some white kids, now here's the thing, white kids in their neighborhood have no right to ask me anything. They're not enforcement. So I'm not answering them at all. I don't got to tell you. if you're a policeman, a legit person, and you show me something, you're an authority, or you got something, you ask me, I'm gonna tell you. If somebody asks me, if I'm out in Virginia, in a rich white neighborhood, and I'm walking around out there, and police stop me and ask me, what are you doing here? I'm like, look, I'm here. I'm coming up the street going to see my aunt. Or, you know, I'm walking around looking at houses. Now, until you say something or show me something where you being nasty and you just don't like me because I'm going to ask you, well, I mean, what's the problem? Oh, what is this? It is this. Okay, well, cool. And guess what? We'll deal with it then. But what I'm saying to you is I'm not going to immediately jump up and assume that this guy is asking because I'm racist. I'm going to tell him because maybe he'll just roll on. I just like I told you about the school thing. I can assume the guy followed me because I'm black and he think I'm a steal. Do I think sometimes they have done that? Hell yeah. Do I care? No. Because me getting mad and flipping out and acting a fool about it ain't going to make them stop. Look at their store. It's stupid. So what I'm saying to you, Jerry, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. But, Jerry, you're equating incidents of people who are not in enforcement, who are not in authority, doing something to three black kids. That's not right. They have no right. They have no authority. They have no right. They chase those kids and attack them. That's not right in this country. I don't care who you are. You can't just unprovokedly go and just get baseball bats and chase people. Anybody knows that's not right. Anybody knows that's not right. So I'm not disagreeing with you with that. What I'm saying to you is that in this country, we African Americans need to stop going around and thinking that everything is black and white, the antennas up, because everything is not what they think it is. We're not doing that. And what I'm saying to you is that we are a prisoner of our fears and of fears of people treating us unfairly or doing something, and what it does, it makes us react to it before we really know what it is, and then we're sitting looked at like we're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs sometimes. I'm not saying there's not legitimate reasons. I agree with that. Everything, I do not vehemently deny or disagree with anything you have said since we've been on this show. But all I'm saying to you is that we got to get better with that. We can't keep acting like that. I can't live like that. Because if I live like that, I would miss so many opportunities. And to be honest with you, like I told my sister the other day, I've gotten more help from the white man than I have from the black. I have. That's just the truth. And that's not saying I don't like my people or anything, because I've had a lot of black people that help me. But at the same time, if I had taken everybody who was white and looked at them every time the way they reacted to me, or looked at everything they do, and
No. See, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
I'm not talking about you, Jerry. I'm talking about when you say, here's the thing. When your antennas are up, you're going to act a certain way. You know why, Jerry? Because you matured some. So somewhere along the line, you're going to give it a little more chance. You might think that, but you ain't going to just jump off really, really quick, Jerry. You don't seem like a type of guy that just flout the handle just automatically. You have a little more patience. You have a little more, I'm going to find out about it. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about people who walk around. I'm talking about these people who are on Facebook. My friends are people who are not open to the evidence or open to anything. They're just saying, this is what it is. And I see them every day talk about all kind of different things, and they call it racism, and I'm like, it's not. It's not all the time that. But they brush it with a big, broad stroke and say it is. Do I believe it? Hey, what's that do? Do I see it all the time? Sure, I see it all the time with other people and other things. The difference is that I don't let it bother me because I'm a firm believer, and I don't have to sit here and prove nothing to you. I don't care. Unless you put your hands on me or you say something that I know typically is not lawful or not right, then I'll challenge you. But until then, I'm gonna let you lay low and do what you do. Because when you do so, when you show me, then I'll deal with you. But I'm not gonna go into it with a closed mind, with my mind already made up and acting a certain way and something. Now, if five white boys run that real baseball bat, there's no choice. I'm gone. I'm not waiting on you. Y'all can run. Look, they can run past me. But until they run past me or run in a different direction, I'm gone. I ain't waiting, just like you said about the gun. And I ain't going to punch no dude with no gun. What dude you know going to go punch a dude with a gun and think he got a gun? Man, I'm gone. I don't know no black people that would run out of dude, would go up to a dude while they think he reaching for a gun. I couldn't believe you said that, Jerry. I was laughing. I was sitting over there trying not to sneak in your
well,
way.
At close range, in my opinion, at close range, if you're face to face with somebody, your best shot is to go at the guy versus run away from the person, because it's a trigger.
Okay. All right.
You follow me? It's a trigger, and you have less of a chance of dodging a bullet if you start to run away. If you turn your back and run away, then run toward the person. And most people think that if you have a gun, people are going to be running away. If you run at the guy, if you're close enough that the guy is pointing a gun at you, then running away ain't gonna do squat for you, because.
Right.
They're going to pull the trigger. So you ain't got nothing to lose. You go at the guy.
Right. No, and I understand that, but let me just tell you, I ain't doing it. I just wanted to let you know. You can play all you want. Unless I can put my hand on his hand before he gets there and I'm that close, yeah. But if I'm not, and to be honest with you, if I know I did it, I'm not wrestling. I'm gone. You get the gun while you reach it and prepare, I'm gone.
I've had a gun pointed at my face, so I know the feeling, so...
No, I ain't never had it pointed at my face. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't want it.
Yeah,
and I can tell you now, you get the drop on me, you put it in my face, I'm still. But if you reach it, I got a chance to get, I'm getting. You see O.J. Simpson in the flesh, 1955. You will see me, you will be like, I ain't never seen that one that ever in his life. Yeah, trust me, and I'll be zigzagging. Dude, you have a moving target. We're going to play target practice. It's like at the carnival. Let's see. To be that as it may, you know, I've had another great discussion with you, man. I appreciate you. And I respect your opinion. The thing about it is, I'm not disagreeing with anything you said today. I really haven't. I just think we just need to do better and not be held in bondage of fear of somebody doing something to us. And we need to have law. Like I'm going to say this last point, that I'm gone. Just like I think if we would allow people, which I don't think is unreasonable, to show an ID when you come to vote, I just think it would just, I don't understand the problem with that from black folks. I don't understand it. And I think if we had went along with that and hadn't made such a big deal about it and everything, I think they wouldn't have messed with the voting rights.
That's just my assessment. That's a totally different discussion again, man. And we can table that for another day, because I got my thoughts on that too.
But I just wanted to bring that point up. I didn't really want to discuss it. I know it's the time, but I just wanted to bring it up and say that's something where I think if we had said okay, it's cool, and I didn't think it was unreasonable. I was just saying, I think they wouldn't have messed with the voting rights. I don't know. That's strictly my opinion and assumption. That's not something I know for a fact. So I'll just put that out there. But anyway, be that as it may, man, it's game time. It's a hot game down here. If any of y'all in the area, tonight is Team Arion, one of the top teams in here, versus the champs of the Goodman Funkhouse. Get down here before it starts. It's gonna be packed. It's gonna be a good game. There's a lot of stars set it, and it's gonna be a burner. So get down here. But anyway, Jerry, again, another great week. Next week we'll be talking to Brian Chase. Please tune in. We will have him here talking to us live on the radio. August 9th, we will have Manisha Lightner. She is the cover girl on Prince's album that a lot of people don't know about. It's called Madhouse.
Right.
Very talented. Very beautiful woman, still looks
real
great
beautiful.
After 25 years, still looks great, and is a friend of mine, and she'll be here, you know, to give us a taste of what it was like to deal with, work for, and deal with Prince, and how she got started, and then she'll be talking about some things that she's into now. I don't know if we'll do have her the whole hour. She said she don't know we have the whole hour, but we're going to get to as much as we can then, but please tune in August 9th, and we're going to have a great time, and Jerry, again, great week. I appreciate it, man. Great discussion again. I think we could have went another hour with it, but you know, I really liked the discussion. I feel like it was very productive. I hope you guys will archive this. Hope you guys will listen to it again. Pass it to your friends. You know, you can always hit me on Facebook at Mac Williams. You can send a friend request, or you can go to No Chaser on Facebook and join and like this page and join our show page and see all the guests who are coming up. In the meantime, after Brian Chase, we are going to do a summer series, summer basketball series, which means Brian is the first. I will pick different players that I will have on my show, and we will talk about it. What I'm trying to do is present to young people what it takes to be a pro. And it's not always NBA. Sometimes it's overseas, sometimes it's college. Now, whatever it is, I want to get these guys on here and find out what makes them tick. Well, how did they get here? How did they do it? And try to give young people a blueprint for that. So please have the young people tune in next week to start my first in my summer series. Here's Brian Chase. And with that, Jerry, my man, I appreciate you. God bless you, man. Have a great week. And
thanks.
I will see you next Friday.
All right.
And we are out.